Hey, I'm Marcus.
And I'm Nick.
We are Working Class Nerds.
Cue the intro. That's right, we are Working Class Nerds, the podcast that gives you no information about your favorite information.
Today is Thursday, April 30th, 2020, and you can find this Yes, I'm Streaming podcast on Apple Podcasts, Buzzsprout, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. You can find the both of us on Twitter.
I am at Nick Vern, that's N-I-C-K-V-E-R-N.
And I am at MarcusB814, and now you can see me at twitch.tv/MarcusB814.
And this week's episode, we're talking with Jackie Cao, game developer for Gearbox Software, and of course, friend of the show. So together, we're going to chat about what life as a game developer is like working from home. So imagine that comes with a whole unique set of challenges. So welcome to the show again, Jackie. And what have you been up to this week?
Hey, thanks for having me back on. This week's been same routine as the last couple of weeks, working from home. I'm not a fan of the working from home just because it's slower and I like being around people. I consider myself an extrovert.
Well, it's got to be tough too because you just started the job, right?
Yeah. So like I was saying, it's slower. The whole onboarding process has been kind of not as fast as I would have liked. You know, it's a lot harder to be trained on tools and processes and whatnot when you can't just call someone over to your desk and computer and just look. You gotta wait on other people to finish their calls and whatnot.
Is the software the same going from company to company, or is it completely different?
It can be completely different. So over at Gearbox, we use Unreal Engine.
Okay.
And that one is used commonly throughout a lot of studios. But even then, most studios will develop their own tools and whatnot for their engine. So it does differ. There is a decent amount of training period that takes to get used to those tools.
And what would you say the biggest difference between the tools from Gearbox and BioWare are?
So for SWTOR specifically, since I didn't work on the other projects, Anthem and it uses a Frostbite,
mm-hmm. Right?
And I don't know too much about that one, but I know for Heroblade, which is the engine we use for SWTOR, that's developed specifically for MMOs. So that one's has things designed to making MMOs easier. And the tools were built so we can pump out a lot of content, because MMOs is about just constantly putting out a stream of content. So they build tools for us so we can be self-sufficient and they don't have to help us out much, engineers and stuff. And they can focus on building new features for the game. Over here at Gearbox and just Unreal Engine is much more modular. You can do a lot with the base engine. It's very powerful. And because we're not making, you know, live service games like an MMO, we get a lot more support and help immediately from our programmers and such. So I'll be trying to do something and I'll be like, hey, my tools can't do this. I don't have the right tech for it. Engineer's like, all right, we'll do it then.
Huh. That sounds cool. They'd make it custom for you essentially, right?
Yeah. Yep.
It's almost like you're modding your own game. But it's an engine.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool. So have you been playing any games lately?
Oh, I've been playing a ton. A lot of games. As I'm guessing most people are nowadays.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I recently got into the Valorant beta.
Okay.
Oh, that is, I'm trying to think. That is like a battle royale, but a survival version, right?
No, that is the new Riot game. It's a first-person shooter. It's a Counter-Strike.
But I'm trying to think. Like, you can leave the match. Is this the game I'm thinking of? I'm gonna Google it. What's it called? Valorant.
Yeah, Valorant.
Because there's a game that they were talking about is, Oh, so this is almost like Counter-Strike and like Overwatch kind of a thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Because there's one that I saw that is like, I don't want to know if it's a battle royale or not, but you land, but you can like collect weapons and stuff, but you can leave the map. So you don't actually have to kill somebody during it. I just don't know the name of the game.
Tarkov? Is that what you're thinking of?
No, it's I don't think it's out yet. It was okay. Just in beta. It was just in beta. But this is sweet.
Yeah, tactical shooters have always been like my favorite kind of shooters. So I played a lot of Rainbow Six growing up. I was playing a lot of Rainbow Six Siege before mm-hmm. Valorant. Dabbled in Counter-Strike a little bit. So this is like the updated Counter-Strike that a lot of people have been waiting for.
Is it from a similar studio? It's not made by... Counter-Strike was Valve, right?
Yeah, this is by Riot.
Okay.
So it's their first... I want to say it's the first game that's not in the League of Legends universe.
Okay.
It's... So is it in the universe of League of Legends for sure?
No, it's not. It's so far from what we know, it's not in it. I'm pretty sure it's a new like IP in world.
Oh.
It's like okay. A modern-esque setting. Who knows? Maybe they'll be like, hey, this is the world of League in the future, but I doubt that. I think it's its own separate universe and IP.
Oh, this game looks sweet. But you have to apply to get into the beta.
So the beta process is weird. You have to watch streams of people streaming the beta, and then you get a Twitch drop, which is beta access.
Oh, wow. That's kind of ingenious.
It is, but there's been I was actually reading an article about this last night. It's been leading to a lot of issues with Twitch where people will record them like a VOD of themselves playing and then just play that on their own stream over and over. So like more than half the people that are streaming Valorant aren't actually live.
Oh wow. Yeah.
And most of the people watching streams aren't actually watching. They just have in the background looking for like a drop. So actual streamers are like, wait, I'm going to engage with my audience though. I don't want just like AFK watchers.
Right.
So that, they're trying to address that right now.
But that's interesting because, you know, it's the loopholes, right? You give somebody an inch, you're going to take a mile. If you put a gate to stop people from going into the beta to do it a certain way, people are going to find a loophole to get around it to get in because people are going to want to play the game.
Yep.
And see, I kind of like the, I don't know what game it was that I applied to be in the beta, but it was, you applied, you told them your PC specs, or they did like a scan of your computer, or you could tell them you applied and then you would wait and then you would get an email if they accepted you, you know? And I kind of like that because then they can kind of, you know, they want somebody that's computer has a 960 in it. And then they want somebody that has a Titan in it. You know what I mean? To see how it runs on all of them.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of, you know, apply for the beta and, you know, jump through hoops to get it. My favorite way to get in the beta is if you pre-order the game. Because you pre-order it on Amazon, you get your beta key, and then you cancel it, and now you can still play in the beta. Yeah.
For free, right?
For free, right?
Well, now you just spilled the beans. We might not be.
No way, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, I applied. Oh, shit. It's a couple of years ago now. I applied for a beta on something, and, you know, and I got it, and I played like 2 seconds of the beta, and I was like, this is terrible. Well, I forgot to cancel it, and when it came out, oh, your digital code is here. And I'm like, oh, I just wasted $60 on this. It was shit. It's going to come back to me. But what else have you been playing? Anything other than Valorant?
Valorant, I picked up Ghost Recon Wildlands again. Going to try to finish that finally.
What do you think of that?
I love it. I love open world games.
Did you ever play any, like, did you play Ghost Recon Future Soldier?
Yes.
Okay. Which game do you prefer?
I prefer Wildlands.
See, I found that the open world Ghost Recon doesn't feel like Ghost Recon to me, and maybe that's, like, because I'm an old guy. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't feel like Ghost Recon was to me.
Yeah, I'll agree. It's different. The way I saw Wildlands is, like, okay, they're, like reinventing this series with a different, you know, basically a whole different gameplay, whatever, just putting the Ghost Recon name on it. But as a game, almost, I really, Wildlands.
It's almost like Assassin's Creed Ghost Recon.
Yeah,
essentially. Or Grand Theft Auto Ghost Recon.
Actually, just last night, I was like, yeah, this game feels like Grand Theft Auto. You can run around and drive vehicles and kind of do whatever.
Run people over, yeah.
See, I never had a lot of experience with the Ghost Recon games. I had a lot more experience with the Rainbow Six games. Like Vegas or Vegas.
Oh, that was fun. Or, New Vegas, yeah. Or not New Vegas. Yeah, Rainbow Six Vegas.
Yeah,
Vegas, yeah, those were super fun. Yeah,
me too. Especially, I didn't, so back way back in my PS2 days, I didn't have like online or anything. I would just play local multiplayer against my neighbor. Mm-hmm. And I either like the bots or we'd do like Terrorist Hunt or something. And, mm-hmm. you know, I was probably 10 or so, maybe 12, something like that. But so we weren't that good at it anyway. We would just sink hours and hours trying to get through like the Terrorist Hunt of the different maps and things like that. It was awesome.
You say PlayStation 2 or Xbox 360?
That might have been 360. I don't recall precisely which system. If I had to guess, it was probably the 360. No, because 360 I would have been online for. It must have been PS2.
And as you're just mentioning the Xbox, come on. The Xbox Series X looks so awesome. I can't wait for it.
Jackie, you play primarily on PC, right?
Yeah, but I do have consoles. I have a Switch and I have a PS4.
Aha. So that's what I wanted to say, or wanted to ask was, which next gen console are you kind of like eyeballing more, the Series X or the PS5?
PS5. So I've owned PlayStation products ever since the PS1.
Okay, well that's fair.
Yeah, and also just I have a PC, and most games I want to play on Xbox or come out for PC anyway.
Well, that is true, and with so if you don't have a PC. The Xbox is the way to go, in my opinion. But having a PC, Xbox or Microsoft has said all games that are released for the Xbox will be available for the PC on day one. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's like, okay, do you even, you know, do I buy an Xbox? But the things the Xbox can do are so dope. It makes me excited for console gaming. Versus the PlayStation, it's not going to be able to compare.
Yeah,
PlayStation for mainly the exclusives. That and like, I mean, what I tell everyone that's looking for a console, just get the console that your friends are all playing too.
Well, that's the hardest part because everybody had an Xbox 360.
Yeah.
Because the interface was the best, right? Xbox Live was the best in that era. It's still Xbox Live blows away the PlayStation Network, in my opinion. But the PlayStation 4 clearly beat the Xbox. Oh shit! What is it called? Xbox what?
Xbox One.
Yeah, the Xbox One Series.
Yeah.
And so now, with the next gen coming, and all the systems are going to be backwards compatible. I can't imagine that if you have a PlayStation 4, you're not going to buy the PlayStation 5.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like. At this point, you're locked in. And with Sony owning so many of the studios and all of those exclusives, how are you going to give that up for the Xbox? For Halo, essentially.
Right. Yeah.
Because didn't the Xbox 360 have the Call of Duty series for the exclusives back in the day? Yeah, it did. During the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, yes, it did.
I don't think there were big exclusives, though. Like, it's not like...
No. Like, go ahead.
With the PlayStation now, like you get a whole game mode for a year. That's egregious, obviously. But I think if I remember right, on the PlayStation, for a few generations of Call of Duty games now, you would get like the beta for a couple days early or something like that. But I don't remember any of that for the Xbox 360.
I think it was it. I think yeah, because when the
Call of Duty on the PS3 though.
Oh, yeah. No, it had it, but like the DLC would come out first for the Xbox 360.
That might have been the thing, yeah.
Oh, you know what I mean? Like, I think you're right.
Yeah, because it would come out like, you know, 3 months early for the Xbox, and then it would go to the PC and PlayStation. But now it's vice versa. It's flip-flopped.
Yeah, which is why whenever people like, I don't like time exclusives, but whenever people freak out like it's a new thing, when PS4 had time exclusives, I'm like, wait, hasn't this been a thing for a while already? Why is this like... Why are people freaking out over this now? It's been around for a while.
Right. The thing that bothers me for Sony's exclusives is they don't release them on the PC, which I think sucks because the PC is really the definitive editions of games. You know, Red Dead Redemption 2 on the PC looks amazing.
They're starting to, though. Horizon Zero Dawn's coming out for the PC.
No way.
It is.
Oh, I'm definitely getting that. That's how I'm going to play that game. I never,
that is my favorite
I never played it.
All time.
Wow.
It is so good.
Well, I really want to play the Final Fantasy VII remake just for the nostalgia. And I watched some Twitch streamers stream it. And I really, really want to play it. But I'm not going to buy a PlayStation 4 just for that game. I even asked Nick, if I buy it, can I, you know, screen share all the way to my house on your PlayStation? I don't know if that would work.
Right.
Remote in.
I'm not sure. I think that's probably, like, we both have fast internet connections.
I just don't know how that would work.
Yeah, me neither.
But I really want to play that game. But, you know, they say it might come out on the PC, which it should.
Probably will.
Well, Call of Duty for me this year changed the game because it's fully, what's the word I'm looking for? Shit. Cross-platform. And it works. Yeah, the people with a keyboard and mouse have the advantage because Nick, remember when we played?
Oh, yeah. It was a giant difference.
Right, but being able to play with Nick is huge because I'm on the PC and he's on his console. This was before he got his new laptop.
Right.
But yeah.
Speaking of which, we got to link up to play some Warzone soon.
For sure.
Before the next episode, that'll be our pledge.
Yeah, our pledge. I like that. So, Nick, what have you been up to this week?
So, not a whole lot of fun things, but I have been grinding in a different way for career stuff. So, I don't know how many people recall, but there was like a common app for when you were applying from high school into college where you could fill out one application and it gets sent to a bunch of different schools rather than having to fill out, you know, an individual application for every single school. So when you apply to physician's assistant schools or PA schools, they have one of those as well. It's called the CASPA. I forget what it precisely stands for, but it's basically the CASPA.
Can you see it?
No, I've been rocking the CASPA.
No, can you see through it? Is it invisible?
No. I don't know.
Is it friendly?
CASPA? Yeah, is it friendly? Never mind. It went right over his head.
That went right over my head. But so I've been working on that. It was kind of a pain in the ass to send my transcripts to that. But I finally got that done yesterday. I filled out most of it today before the show. And then I've been working again since I had the COVID or the Rona, if you will. So I've been a little busier than usual. Not too bad. Just a few days a week. But so working, CASPA-ing. I was able to make my D&D night this weekend, which is always fun. I almost died, as per usual, because the dungeon master likes to pick on my character because he hits super duper hard on enemies and kind of screws up the balance of things. So I'm usually the first one to get attacked, and I usually almost die. Like, for example, not this week, but the week prior, my character got paralyzed by this giant mushroom monster and then swallowed whole for, like, 8 turns or something. So it's just stuck inside this thing, which is kind of funny.
That is funny. Did you see crazy colors inside the mushroom?
Oh yeah, my guy was high as balls. He's just dripping in there. But my character, my character is essentially a Wookiee archer who's like a monk and smokes a bunch of weed all the time.
Oh,
but anywho, I'm almost done with that application.
Wait. What's the Wookiee's name?
So I forgot to name him until I was introducing the character, and I had this big long backstory of him like appearing, and all you saw was like an orange glow from his pipe, and then he like came out of the shadows, and all the other characters in the party were like startled because my stealth skill is really high. That was like the intro. I was like, oh hey, and I forgot to like think of a name. So because he's technically like more like a Sasquatch, but I made him like a Wookiee, and I panicked and I just said, hey, my name's Chewy, but I spelled it with
perfect.
Like, yeah, but I made him like with a funky spelling. So it's not quite the same.
Okay.
But anywho, That was my D&D night Sunday. And then other than that, I'm like almost done with the first application for the first school, I should say. I have to write this big long personal statement that I got to look, you know, do some research on first to see like sort of what types of things they're looking for and stuff like that. But it's been mostly working things like that the past couple weeks. So that's it for me. Marcus, how have you been doing and what have you been doing in game things?
So
looks like you have a lot. You've been texting me that you keep beating things. So sounds like Death Star Troopers have been doing a lot.
So So I'm the complete opposite of you, Nick. So yeah. I've been working like crazy inside my shop, but at night, you know, so my wife is home with the kids every single day. So by like 8:30, okay, perfect example. Last night we started watching, this is the worst TV show I've ever seen in my life. It's called, it's like Joe Exotic or Tiger Bitch or something. It's the dumbest fucking show I've ever seen in my life. Okay.
It's called Tiger King.
Okay. Tiger King, Tiger, whatever. Okay. But it almost is so shitty that you have to watch it. So we're watching the first episode and I turn around and like, I heard the couch going chick, chick, chick. And I'm like, oh, she's getting comfortable. She's about to be sound asleep. But by the end of the first episode, and so she came out of that and I was like, Carrie, are you watching the show? And she's like, oh my God, I'm so tired. So almost every single night she's been sleeping early. So I'm just playing video games. So
perfect.
I've been talking about streaming for, has to be a year, right? I'm going to stream. And then I never do.
Right.
Well, I've got nothing else to do. And so I just started. Thanks to Doc and Kogus for helping me get this whole Streamlabs OBS thing all figured out, because I'm a complete idiot when it comes to this shit. But I did it and it's pretty fun. So I guess there's something called I don't know anything about this. So there's something called the Twitch affiliate.
Okay.
So basically, it's so people can subscribe to your channel. You have to have 50 followers. You have to stream 8 hours over the course of 30 days. And you have to, each stream has to have, or you have to have like, I don't know. I don't know how many streams have to have like a concurrent of like 3 viewers or 4 viewers. Well, I've had that like the first 2 streams I've had, and I've already got 44 followers. So it's like, I'm almost there. And it's actually pretty cool, but you know, I was up until like 2:30 in the morning the other day on the program trying to like do things. Have you ever do something and you're like, oh, I'm just going to do one more thing. And yeah. Then as soon as you start doing that one more thing, it opens up a rabbit hole for another thing. And you're like, oh shit. So now I got to do this thing and that thing. Okay. I'll do that. And then you complete one, but it opens up the next door for the next thing, and you're like, oh my God. And next thing you know, it was 2:30 in the morning and I got up at 6 and went to work, and I was tired.
I know that feeling very well. I did that the other day, but I didn't mean to. I just couldn't sleep, so I just kept watching episodes or something. If I might cut in, I started rewatching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
It's such a good show.
Oh my God. I forgot how funny it was. Oh, I forgot to talk about my hike. We can circle back to that after, but anywho, Always Sunny until like 3 a.m. because I couldn't sleep, and then just kept going and going and watching it.
Yeah, it happens. So so in Star Wars,
yeah,
I finally, so on my Saturday night team, Damage Control, we beat Nahut in hard mode, which was fantastic. And the week before we beat Avelia and Esni.
Yep.
And then we went to the Skyva fight and it totally yeah, there's a lot going on. It's like walking into a nightclub for a rave party. That's how many lights and like beams and everything that are going on during the whole thing. But that's progression. Death Star Troopers, on the other hand, so we filled 2 spots that needed to be filled, DPS spots, and we've been progging on Revan. And the person who made the Revan fight, you know who you are, Mr. P. that fight's like, I just want to say, like, F the mechanics, okay?
Wait, which fight is this?
Revan.
You're doing the Revan fight now?
Yeah.
On hard mode, right?
Yeah. Oh.
Or veteran, I think.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Veteran mode, hard mode, same thing. It sucks. Like, there's so much going on, and and then, so there's a first floor, Nick, second floor, third floor. Well, there's been a few times where I just fell off the stairs and we had to wipe the team because I couldn't even walk upstairs. let's just put it that way.
Oh my, that's the worst.
Well, speaking of rating, I've been rating in Destiny 2 a lot.
You should join up with some of the, our AIE people. They're doing all the raids all the time. There's a pretty popular clan for AIE.
Well, I guess I used to be in Austin. There's a group of Austin game developers that play together, and we raid every week and do all this stuff.
Oh, that's sweet. I would love to play Destiny. I just don't have the time.
Yeah, you know, it's not in the greatest state right now either.
How come? It went free to play. Everybody, I thought, is playing it.
Yeah, it's just the content is very... you get bored of it quickly. It doesn't have that fun loop that you want to be doing all the time.
Oh, so you're saying the content isn't constant?
They have a stream of content coming out. It's just because they're doing a seasonal model, so every season there's a new repeatable game mode that they want you to grind and all that stuff.
Yeah,
the repeatable game modes have not been as fun as previous seasons. Ever since they split from Activision, I think just the loss of, you know, half their dev team has impacted them like that. Yeah.
But long term, I think Destiny 3 or whatever they do next will be better off because Activision isn't a part of it.
Maybe.
Hopefully 100%.
If they take their time to do it, right? If they're going off the schedule they had before, they're like, oh, Destiny 2 took us this long, so let's do the same for Destiny 3. Probably not, because like I said, they have half the people they used to have.
I'm sure. Most games now, when they launch, they're not what they're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. But then again, when people love the IP, they stick around. I mean, in SOTOR, content comes out, you know, like slower than a snail. I don't know. What's slower than a snail, Nick?
I don't know if any creatures are slower than a snail. That's about as slow as you get.
Okay, that's the amount. That's how fast the content comes out for SOTOR. Mm-hmm. So it's... anything that, you know, so I understand slow content, but the fact that Bungie owns it, I feel like long term it's going to be better. And when you leave a big, you know, a conglomerate like Activision, you're bound to lose something, but over time it'll just be fine. I remember I used to watch the Bungie team play ping pong against the Penny Arcade people back in the day. And like follow their like game developer versus Penny Arcade, you know, like little thing in Seattle. I don't know if you know what Penny Arcade is. But anyway.
Oh, that's cool. Where would you watch that? They would stream it on YouTube or something?
No, it was on pennyarcade.com. Check it out, Nick.
That's awesome.
It's a webcomic. It's a webcomic. And they're the people who put on PAX.
Right.
See, that's the only thing I know Penny Arcade about is PAX. I'm like, I know they did something before PAX, but I actually never looked into what it was.
On your computer at some point, go to pennyarcade.com and you'll see. The webcomics are hilarious. Some of my favorite. Okay. Do you remember Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2? Yes, Nick, I know you do.
Yep.
I put a lot of hours in that game.
Okay. So us too. There. Do you remember the double shotgun?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like the 1886 or something akimbo.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was like unstoppable.
Yeah.
They did a webcomic of it. If you go to the search bar in Penny Arcade, type in dog rapist, they were talking about how awful it is. They were trying to decide which worse, the guy that runs around at super speed with a commando knife or the double shotgun dude. And then when they were like, yeah, that guy's a dog rapist, and because they hate him so much. It was so funny that I bought the print and had it printed out because it was that funny to me. And, you know, just certain stuff like that. But anyways, the other thing is Battlefront 2. I have been playing that so much. I don't know why I didn't buy it. I got sucked into the hype of loot boxes.
Yeah,
I really did.
The notoriety, I guess.
Yeah, so we talked about this at length last week, but I can't tell you how much I love the game. And every time I play a battle droid, I just keep saying, Roger, Roger. Everything about it I love. But to all the people who get the heroes before me and that get to be Anakin, stop force slamming me into the ground to my death.
Oh my God, I know. That's almost as frustrating as that bounty hunter we talked about last episode.
Oh, Bossk. Throwing that stupid corrosive grenade.
Oh my God.
I mean, you're a battle droid. Of course I'm not going to be able to stop the force.
Right.
And these guys are so, the game's been out for so long that they're so good with them that they don't die.
Right. They get them they just race to 4,000 points or whatever it is. And then they just have them the entire 45-minute match afterwards.
The character I have most trouble with is Palpatine. He just does so much damage from such a long range.
Yeah. Play it?
I played a lot for a few months. There's a group of us that are playing, I think in January this past year, December, January, February. Played a lot during that time. It's super fun. I love that game.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
It's so satisfying to get a few kills. You know what I mean? And just get a streak going. Cause I feel like you have to kind of earn them in that.
And so after 2.5 years of free content, the vision for Star Wars Battlefront 2 is now complete. So that was the headline from creative director Dennis Brevalier. And he said it's on the game's journey through 25 free content updates. And just this week, the Battle of Scarif was uploaded. And that's it for the game. So I just want to kind of talk about this and kind of understand. So this game is at the end of its content cycle, right? So I'm guessing they're going to, continue to do, they basically said, look, there's no more updates. They're still going to do bug fixes and stuff like that, but that's it. So does that mean, Star Wars Celebration, they're going to announce Battlefront 3? Or are they actually going to come out with the new Star Wars online IP that is going to be a multiplayer game like a Destiny? Because who wouldn't love to play Star Wars Battlefront as a Destiny?
Yeah, and that could sort of fulfill a replacement for SOTOR role, that it's a pseudo MMO or new gen. I forgot the technical term, but
next gen.
Next gen MMO, I guess. And also have a new shooter that sort of fits with the Battlefront series, if you will. Now, I don't know if Jackie has any inside info that he could share. Maybe not, but it's
the only thing I do know is if something like that were to happen, I have no idea if this is one of these things is happening or not. I would like to see one. Right. I don't think it would be DICE making it, just because DICE's specialty is in PvP multiplayer games. I think EA likes to keep studios working on what they're best at.
Right.
So they want something with RPG mechanics. They probably actually would go to BioWare for that instead.
Or Respawn. Because they just did Jedi Fallen Order. And they've been known to do multiplayer games because Titanfall.
Yeah, Respawn is interesting. They're kind of allowed to do their own thing.
Well, I saw an article today, and I'll just read it really quick.
Where's it from?
I don't remember. I'll tell you after.
Okay.
So basically, last year there was a job opening for a Star Wars IP online game. They were looking for, what's Keith Koenig's job, Jackie? Producer. They were looking for a producer to oversee the whole game, right?
Was that Respawn or BioWare?
It didn't say. It was just an EA posting. Okay. This is going back a year. Mm-hmm. Basically, now the rumors are that there's going to be a Knights of the Old Republic remake, which there was a remake being made by an individual guy. The rumor mill is that guy got hired by EA, But the new rumor mill, and this is where it's going, is what if the new Knights of the Old Republic remake is a High Republic game? And that is set in the High Republic to try to introduce this new series of events.
Oh, that could be cool. Yeah, because the High Republic thing, they said it's going to be taking place in non-screen media, right?
Yeah, so right away. So basically, the way I understand it, and I'm reading into it, is that if you look at the Marvel movies, they've had decades of content for it, right? So they've written how many comics, how many books, how many everything, and they figured out, you know, which Iron Man stories worked, which ones didn't. How, you know, Tony Stark as a snarky guy works better than Tony Stark as a really nice guy, because in all of the comics, everything has ever happened or has happened. So I believe that they're going to put out a bunch of books, bunch of games, bunch of everything, throw a bunch of slime to the wall, see what sticks, and then boom, make the movie. So everybody likes the movies like they do the Marvel movies. Because how many Marvel movies can you say that you actually don't like?
Not many. I don't know any of
like
them.
Like a handful? Maybe like three?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Iron Man 3, Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2 was... I didn't mind Iron Man 2. Iron Man 3 I did not like.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like it was thrown together. But anyway, so going with that is... So is the next Battlefront game going to be an online game? And to comment on what you say, Nick, about the SOTOR ending, I don't think so. I think SOTOR's in a weird place where it has its subscribers, it has its dedicated players, i.e. me, and I'm not going to stop playing it just because there's a Battlefront online game.
Right, yeah, that's true too. That's just sort of, I think, honest to God, like, in my heart of hearts, that SOTOR is probably just going to keep existing on its own, because that whole universe is so far removed from any of the other media that they're working with, you know? SOTOR can just continue to be its own game, you know, and not interfere with any of the other Star Wars IPs, I feel like.
Especially, right, because it's...
It's not like, especially if they're not exploring anything in the Old Republic, like, who cares what SOTOR's doing, you know?
And Disney's smart. Disney knows if they make a movie about Revan or the Old Republic or anything that already has been done, people are going to be mad because it's not their Star Wars, right?
Right, exactly.
They make a Star Wars universe, excuse me, that they create, that nobody can complain, because people can have in their minds what they imagine the High Republic to be, but what you see and what you read is going to be the only thing that is actually true for it. So they're going to be able to mold this over the course of years.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And make, you know what I mean? So it's almost like they're playing the long-term game for a win.
Right.
And to be honest, I think they should take a break from Star Wars movies for a little while. Play the Disney Plus show game. Get that going. You know, the Obi-Wan series. And I personally would like to see, like, a Darth Vader series.
That would be cool. Especially him, like, recruiting all of the
Inquisitors. Or even, like, exactly, like a five-part miniseries, something, which I think those things will come eventually. But, like, we don't need a movie on the screen for a while. Disney Plus will keep us busy with that.
I would love to see Hayden Christensen be, like, a scarred-up Vader. You know?
Never happen. Never.
I'm pie in the sky dreaming here, but I think that would be really cool to see him. I don't think he would mind coming back and doing stuff as Vader, you know, especially since he's all going to be all mangled anyway. You won't tell that he looks a lot older. But anywho, that's just my pipe dream, because I think we get, you know, a good amount of Inquisitor stuff in Rebels. We get a good amount of Inquisitor stuff in The Force Awakens, or sorry, Jedi Fallen Order. But other than that, there's probably books on it, but I haven't seen too much recently about that whole transition period between, you know, him becoming Vader and A New Hope. So that would be cool to have, like, a little mini series, even if it was one season or something, on him.
Yeah, the only
doing stuff and, like, hunting down the remaining Jedi and things like that.
The only thing is the only thing Darth Vader is the comics. What do you think, Jackie?
I don't know. I think we don't, or probably the general public probably doesn't want any more movies in the Skywalker saga for a little bit.
Oh, or, no, yeah. That's over, yeah.
Yeah, hence why they're, you know, pushing the High Republic stuff. Besides, they're still doing an Obi-Wan show, right? Or is that not happening?
Well, it is coming, but it's delayed.
Okay.
I think the story, I think if they're going to do the Obi-Wan story, the story has to be good.
Yeah.
And what you saw this year with The Mandalorian, and I loved the show, this is going to be a criticism, but as you saw, like the season was, what, 8 episodes?
Mm-hmm.
4 of those episodes were complete filler. And there was no, you know, I understand there's filler episodes on like a 20 episode season. Sure. But like on an 8 episode season, I don't believe that there should be 4 filler episodes that aren't driving the story forward. It's just, I'm a bounty hunter and I'm going to do a bounty hunting thing. You know what I mean? Somebody's going to try to take the Yoda baby. You know what I mean? So I think they're learning as they go, but I think the Obi-Wan series is going to be sweet.
I think they could use that Obi-Wan, use the Obi-Wan series to help tell, like, you know, what Darth Vader was doing in that time period.
That's true, especially if they interact.
Yeah,
obviously.
Which I'm sure they want that. You know, that's like the main relation back then was Vader and Obi-Wan, or Anakin, right. And Obi-Wan.
So the last thing that I did, Trials of Mana, which is a JRPG game that comes back, you know, dates all the way back to Final Fantasy Tactics and or Adventure. And then it was Collections of Mana, Secret of Mana. And I played them all. Like, Nick, those weren't a game that I just picked up and played twice and then never played again. Those are actual games that I played.
I don't believe
and I'll show you the achievement list on my old Game Boy. But the new one came out for the Switch, so I have not opened it yet because I bought a capture card for my computer so I can plug my Switch into my computer and I can stream it, and I'm going to stream this game. Yep. I'm taking this shit seriously. I even got a green screen, Nick.
You did?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's how you had Nar Shaddaa behind you, right?
Yep.
Damn. Wait, quick question. How does that capture card work? So you plug the HDMI from the Switch into the capture card?
Correct.
Okay, and then
no. So the Switch has to be docked,
yeah.
And then the HDMI will plug into like a mini HDMI, and they have two kinds of capture cards. One is like external that you would use like on an Xbox or a PlayStation,
yep.
And then my capture card is going to be inserted into my motherboard, and then I just plug it into my PC, and I'll be playing the Switch on my PC.
That sounds so awesome.
Oh, I can't wait.
Especially on all these crazy monitors.
And here's the thing, is for me, the whole streaming thing is going to push me to play the game. And if people are watching me play it, they're going to hold me accountable to play it. So,
is this your way of finishing your games?
Yeah, this is the way that I'm going to actually finish my games. And this isn't because Jackie's on. I've been waiting for Borderlands 2 to come out on the PC and not through the bullshit Epic Game Store. But he just told me it's 50% off. I was hoping to get a free code, but hint, I didn't happen.
You mean so, Borderlands 3, not Borderlands 2?
Yes, Borderlands 3. I have them all, and I've beaten them all.
I use up all my free codes for...
I'm just messing with you. I have no problem supporting you and your develop. Listen, I buy that game that helps you with a job. I'm in. I mean, I still pay for my own sub for SOTOR. So...
Right.
Anyway,
a SWTOR sub. Yeah, I'm sure. I definitely get free subs, but now I'm no longer working there. I wonder if I still have a sub. I haven't logged on to the game for a while.
Well, I mean, well, you've spent so much time with it. Like, that's completely understandable.
Yeah. So I'm going to be playing Trials of Mana. And then, did you guys see the new trailer for that Assassin's Creed game?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I saw teaser images. I didn't see the trailer.
Wait. Yeah, the trailer just came out today. Both of you, I'm going to ramble about it, and you two watch the trailer right now. So I'm going to keep talking about streaming and all this stuff. But anyways.
What's it called?
So it's just type in Google new Assassin's Creed trailer.
Valhalla.
Valhalla. Yeah,
what?
So Nick.
It's set in Nordic times?
Yes, they're Vikings. So, I played, what was it, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which was the Greek mythology one.
Yeah.
And I literally played it 2 days, bought my strategy guide.
Yeah,
but
you always do that.
Yeah, I know, but not anymore. Anyway, so they released this. I watched this. Now, this game looks incredible. And if it's anything like Assassin's Creed Odyssey was, whoa.
You liked Odyssey? It was really good. I haven't played one since 4.
Oh, dude. Yeah, Assassin's Creed Odyssey is unreal. So they have, like, I'm going to call it like a bodyguard. So there's always, like, in the areas of the map, there's always this, like, one big badass dude that's walking around. And if he detects you because there's a bounty on your head, he comes after you. And, like, he's like, it's like you're level 50 and he's level 75. And he comes after you and you have to, like, be super tactical and, like, run away and then hide in a bush and, like, arrow him in the face and then run away. But this dude hits you, you're dead. But if you beat him, you get epic rewards. And it's an open world game, completely open world. Jack, you need to go play this game. I'll even share my Steam library with you so you can play it or try it, because that's how good it is. But I only played it 2 days because that's what I do with games.
Yep, you play them 2 days and then go back to Star Wars.
Yeah, and that's
like, you finish in 2 days, or you just play them for 2 days and you stop?
I just play them for 2 days and I stop. But the game's unbelievable. The only games that I don't do that were, like, the original Mass Effect series, because those games are awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, did you guys watch the trailer?
I'm watching it now, with no sound, because I'm listening to you guys, obviously. But the graphics look incredible.
Yeah, it's Nick, you're basically just seeing it's like England saying these people are bad, and, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Anyway. Game looks awesome.
I like Vikings. It should be fun.
Yeah. Really? So, but play Assassin's Creed Odyssey, man. Right. You're gonna love it. And
did you play Origins, the Egypt one?
Yeah. So me and Nick played that at PAX. Mm-hmm. It's Odyssey was better than Origins, for me, because it's Greek mythology.
Right.
And I love that shit.
And we're Greek, so of course.
Yeah. And it's beautiful. The open world is huge. Like, I swam forever. And I just didn't go anywhere. But the game, you know, like in some games, when you hit so much water, it just says, please turn around. You're leaving the map.
Yeah.
That game does not do that. Just swam. Yeah, that game is unbelievable.
I'll have to play those. Maybe I've been looking for, like, a non-first-person shooter to play. Maybe, maybe I'll jump into that.
Just log into my Steam and just use my Steam library.
Okay.
I'll add it to the list. I got so many games on backlog I'm trying to get through right now. I've managed to get through 4 so far during this virus lockdown.
Assassin's Creed 4?
No, 4 different games.
Oh, what games?
Me and my friend finished Shadow Warrior 2. That one was fun. Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah, I heard that was really good.
Yeah, the boy band road trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a fun open world game.
I played it at PAX, and I own it because I got it for like $5 in a Humble Bundle or a Square Enix bundle, but never played it. Anyways, next game.
Doom Eternal. I played that.
Whoa, Nick, you hear that? Nice.
I just finished Doom 2016 because I hadn't played either.
Wait, you beat it?
Oh, no. Well, I'm about to. I was kind of exaggerating. Right. But I have like 2 more levels.
Doom 2016?
Yes. So I hadn't played either, but I bought both right when I was first got sick with the Rona, and, you know, thinking I would have enough energy to play video games, but I ended up being, like, really tired, so I couldn't play stuff a lot. But I'm watching the Assassin's Creed trailer. It's, like, pretty epic, some of the battle stuff.
And what's the fourth game?
What did I beat for fourth game? I gotta click to the library, figure out what I played through. Oh, Monster Hunter World. I beat the base game for that.
Oh, wow.
Very nice. That's a long game, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of... I'm the kind of guy who likes to, like, grind and get pretty powerful before you get into the end game content. I don't want to be, like, super overprepared, but I do want to be, you know, somewhat overprepared. That's what I do with RPGs.
Yeah, me too. I like to explore all the side quests.
Yeah. Like, all right, this is going to make the final content easier for me.
Right.
By spreading out the work elsewhere. So that one's fun. I own Iceborne, the expansion for that, so I gotta start on that soon. And then on my list, I still have to play God of War.
Wait a minute.
Oh, dude.
Dude, you should stop. Yeah, you should stop every single game and play that game.
Yeah,
I played that game 4 days.
Finished it?
No. That takes longer than 4 days to finish. I think it's like a 40 or 60 hour campaign. It depends on It depends how much, you know, of the extra stuff you get done, but it's a long game. Well, it's longer than I was anticipating, I should say. I think it's at least 40 hours with like the extra stuff, but it could be like 60 or so. And if you try to kill all of like the end game bosses after the story, there's 8 or 9 of them that are just like super challenging fights that'll definitely take you a very long time. But that game's probably my favorite that I've played in the past 2 years or so.
Yeah, I'm definitely, that's my next single player game I'm gonna start. Me and my friends are actually starting a playthrough of Warhammer Vermintide 2 tonight.
Ooh,
very nice.
Four of us, we're gonna play through it.
That's sweet. I like the Warhammer games. I played the Dawn of Wars. They were awesome because it's an RTS, but it's not like StarCraft RTS, where StarCraft is more like a typing contest.
Yeah.
Dawn of War isn't, and it's maybe dumbed down for me. But I really enjoyed Dawn of War 2 and 3. I did not play. There was one where it was like a single player game, like a first person play.
Space Hulk?
I didn't play that. Is it good?
I've heard good things. That's also on my list. You can play that co-op, I think, as well.
Well,
it has good reviews.
If you want to play it, let me know. Give me a day and time, and I will play Space Hulk. I'm sure it's like $10 on Steam.
There's there's a sale on Humble Bundle right now. It's $10 on there.
Oh, see? Boom. I'm looking it up as we speak. Go ahead, Nick.
Did you say you played Shadow Wars 2 or Shadow of War?
Shadow Warrior.
Oh, okay. That's why. I just caught the war part. I'm like, did he say like Middle Earth Shadow of War? That's one of my favorite games ever.
But, I didn't play Shadow of War. I played, what's the first one called?
Shadow of Mordor.
Shadow of Mordor, yeah. That one I played. I loved it.
You should definitely, I mean, obviously add it to the backlog, but that's a really good game too if you like Shadow of Mordor. I think Shadow of War, they expanded on it a ton, and I think it's a lot better.
I thought the whole Nemesis system was really cool.
Yeah, they expanded a lot in the second game.
All right.
God of War should be priority number one.
Yeah. I need to stop playing so many multiplayer games. Like, I still play a bunch of League of Legends and Destiny and Valorant every night. I enjoy those, but I do want to get through my single-player games, so I got to find that balance.
Yeah, just cycle off one of the multiplayer games every week. It's like one night a week.
That's not it. The Space Hulk one is not it.
Was it Colonial or was it Space Marine?
That's like Space Marine. That's it. Yes.
That one's also on sale.
Yeah, that's the game because it's a first person. Like I'm gonna say, a first person shooter. It's not a tactical game at all, or it might be the way it plays, but it's a first person. I always wanted to play like Warhammer the board game with all the figures, but I'm old and I don't know anybody that does that. And as good old Sweet Brown says, ain't nobody got time for that.
It is a time consuming hobby, when I've heard. Yep. You got to paint all your figures and stuff, and you got to like learn all the rules. And
right. You're better off playing Star Wars, that game that we saw at PAX, Nick.
Oh, what game was that?
Imperial Assault.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Anyways, moving on. In SOTOR news, 6.11 dropped. There's conquest changes that it's insane. So basically, I'm going to tell you how to make your conquest. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Log in, 5,000 conquest points. Give one gift to one of your companions, 5,000 conquest points. Pick your nose, 5,000 conquest points. Enter an instance, 5,000 conquest points. Continue on. Oh, you need a med pack and you use it, 5,000 conquest points. It's so easy to get conquest now. It almost makes it so it's nobody's going to care about it anymore. You know what I mean? It's just you basically play for an hour and you get conquest on your planet. And I mean, I understand why they're doing it, because they're trying to make conquest available for the new players. But at the same time, they're kind of taking away from the end game experience of the game. And maybe it's because most of the players don't reach end game now. I don't know, but it's really, really easy. Some things I don't know why they do what they do. Something that they did do is they extended the double XP for, over a month. I think it goes until the end of May or beginning of June, which is pretty cool. So I'm hoping to finish all my class stories. And there was an update this past week that it was just to fix bugs. I know they're still working on Nightmare Duxon, but I haven't heard how that's going at all. I know that the other modes of Duxon are still bugged, and there's still some things that aren't fixed. So, but I'm sure, you know, Jackie will admit, like, working from home and trying to fix this stuff probably isn't as easy as it was being in the office.
Definitely slow things down. If anything, it just makes everything a little slower.
Sure. But, you know, I'm hoping, you know, and basically they said that, like, the content updates are, who knows when they're coming because of this whole COVID stuff.
Sure.
So in AIE news, Nick,
May 22nd at 9 p.m., mark your calendars, free up your schedules, call out from work, find somebody to cover your shift, because it's Mega, the monthly Epic Guild activity. And what are we doing, Marcus? It looks like there's going to be on the imp side, which is the correct side.
Correct. And we're going to do a Datacron hunt, and we're going to continue to all focus on whoever doesn't have them all to get them all so we can all get the achievement of Datacron Master.
What's your favorite Datacron you guys ever done?
Well, the Mekeb one is unbelievable. But I achieved it by getting summoned to it. But I attempted it a couple times and I just said no. The Fleet Datacron was really cool to do. Because that one you actually have to do. Yeah, that one you actually have to do. I mean, there's so many cool things in that game or in SOTOR to do. And they invested so much time. And people don't realize, you know, the content is at a snail's pace now. But, you know, the content that came before, like if you're a new player, there's an endless amount of stuff to do. Like you're never going to run out. Some of the best content in the game is like that Shroud games, the Shroud missions. Like that mission is, those missions are incredible. Some of the best missions I've ever played in games. Because it's almost like puzzle solving and stuff like that. So yeah, there's so much to do, but I still don't have all the Datacrons. And they're fun to do, but I'm terrible at jumping in that game. I feel like the jump mechanics in that game are just god awful. Maybe it's me with a space bar. I'm not as good with a space bar.
No, the jumping in the game is not the greatest. There's too much of a delay between pressing it and the actual jump.
Yep. But yeah.
Hey,
make sure, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, make sure, everybody, if all this sounds fun to you, you should go to aie-guild.org and jump at the Discord and ask for a guild invite, because whether or not you play Star Wars The Old Republic or any of the other games we play or we've been talking about, so with Destiny or any of the other games we were just chatting about, we'd love to have you. Come on over. Come play with Marcus and I.
Nick, do you have to use the bathroom?
As per usual, I do. So we'll be right back.
Jeez, Nick, hurry up. We're trying to finish this podcast.
And we're back. So now we'd like to pick Jackie's brain about what it's like to have to develop games from home and lots of other things about what he's got going on. So here we go. Jackie, first off, how was the move north? What was that like?
It's pretty smooth for the most part. I just packed a bunch of stuff in Austin. We had a moving company that came to basically do most of the packing for us. So we just packed all our valuables.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you have that, like, I can never go back to like pack my own stuff.
Now, did you have to pay or did the new job pay?
New job pay. There was a relocation package.
Whoa.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So they hey, pay Nick. For the move. They pay for the temporary living. So, because they put me in a hotel for a week while the movers were moving our stuff in.
Wow. Wait a minute. So did they like set up your new house or whatever, or apartment also?
The house, they have relocation service that recommended a realtor to me.
Okay.
So, like, this is a good realtor we trust, and then, yeah, basically through her is how we got the house.
Yeah, but so the moving company, like, would set up all of your furniture and things that you had for you while you're at a hotel? Wow, that's awesome.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, so you just walk into a furnished house with all your stuff in it.
Yep.
Man.
Yeah, Nick. Note to self. Can you imagine? Yeah, no, Nick. Can you imagine me never calling you and, hey, Nick, I got to move?
Yeah, seriously. Note to self, like, take out a little extra on the mortgage to account for that if I ever have to move. You know what I mean?
It saves you so much time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Hassle. That's just, like, stress, you know?
So Jackie, I know you and your girlfriend had a dog in Austin, but I recently saw that you got another dog. How are the dogs getting along?
They get along pretty well. They, for the most part, they ignore each other. They acknowledge each other's existence, and that's about it.
Wow, that's funny.
Except sometimes my dog, Zelda, the first one we have, she will jump at him to kind of mark her territory. Yep. So if I'm laying down in bed and he comes to try to come near and stuff, she'll do, you know, guard dog things and kind of tackle him.
Yeah, get away from my daddy.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. And just for the record, the dog's name is fantastic. What's the boy's name?
Mr. Poro.
Okay, what's the significance?
So a Poro is a creature in the League of Legends world that's a small, fluffy, white thing.
Oh, that's
funny. Which is what this new dog is too, is a small fluffy white dog.
And your other dog's black?
Yep.
Zelda. I like
that.
Yeah,
she's named Zelda because that was her name at the shelter.
Oh, that's perfect.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. And she responded to it, so I'm like, well, she responds to that name, there's no reason to change it.
Yeah, no. And it's fitting anyway. Yeah. It's perfect.
Yeah, it's a fantastic name. Can you tell us about your experience with Gearbox?
It's been pretty good so far. Like, I got to, unfortunately, I was only in the studio for 3 weeks before we had to start the work from home.
Right.
Like 3 or 4 weeks. So in the time there, though, everyone was friendly. A lot of company activities to you know, keep us entertained and morale up and stuff. The transition to work from home has been pretty smooth, like tech-wise and all that. The only issue is it's been slower than I prefer, but that's been the case for anywhere working from home, right? It slows things down.
Of course, yeah.
But did you like get to go to your office or your cubicle or whatever it is and take their supercomputer home with you?
That's what I wanted to ask. Like, what kind of is there a difference in equipment from one to the other?
So I'm using my home computer, but anything I didn't have, I could go there and request it and they would give it to me. I think some people that probably had bad computers probably could take their computers home. I just don't have the space here for two.
Hey, Mr. Boss. I'm used to running two 2080 Ti's at the same time. I'm going to need that. Oh, sure. Here you go.
Yeah. What? I don't know if you can tell us, but what kind of like hardware are you working with typically? Like graphics card wise and that? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what I have at work. I briefly checked my specs when I first started, and I'm like, I think it's a 10 something series, maybe a 1070.
Oh, so it's nothing too crazy. Like, yeah. Obviously, to play the games, it can take a lot, you know, if they'll be graphically intense. But to make them, it's not too bad because I'm assuming. I don't really know how that works.
It depends on what you're doing. I guess if you're, like, if you're running a bunch of art, you might need something a little more powerful.
But if you're just working on, like, individualized assets, it's not as bad.
Yeah.
I suppose that makes sense.
1070 is pretty strong for it. Like, the game runs really well on 1070 already.
Right. That's true.
What game are you working on currently?
It is a unannounced title.
Oh.
Okay.
Something new. Something exciting. I'm like really pumped to be working on it.
You should have started with, that's a great question. But
so wait, is it a new IP or is it a sequel in an existing IP? For Gearbox.
That is stuff I cannot answer yet.
Well, it was worth a shot.
Yeah.
For sure. No, that's great. You know, it's, I guess, coming to a new studio, working on a new game, an undisclosed game, right? Mm-hmm. It has to be exciting because you were working on a game that when you started working for BioWare, the game was already released, right? Yep. So it's got to be a complete different experience to be able to, you know, you're building the game from the ground up.
It is.
The new game.
That was the whole reason I left BioWare in the first place, was to have the opportunity to work out a game from the ground up, something new. Working on Soul Tour is fun and all, but I do want to be able to do something from the beginning. Ship a game from start to end.
That's got to be substantially more gratifying to know that, like, you molded that product substantially more.
Yeah, definitely.
And go ahead, Nick.
No, go ahead, Marcus.
Oh, so are you? Oh, what is your job title at Gearbox?
Official job title is game designer. I'm on the, they call it the creature team, enemy team. I basically design enemies.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That was sort of in your wheelhouse at BioWare as well, right? You were designing fights for flashpoints and things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, Jackie? You should I should hire you or commission you to make my stream starting soon, be right back, and ending screen art. That'd be fantastic.
My art skills are I'll say they're mediocre.
That's such bullshit. Now I'm calling bullshit on that. You got hired by a dev company to create enemies in a game. I'm pretty sure your talent is pretty legit. Nick, do you smell it too? Come on.
Yeah.
The process for designing enemies, I like, because I'm mostly focused on their functionality. Okay. So I can do like a rough sketch of like, oh, you know, this is what it could look like. And I usually hand it to the
art team.
Yeah, our team was like, all right, they can make some.
All right. I suppose you neatly dug yourself out of that hole.
That was neatly done, but I still call bullshit on it.
I can draw well enough to convey some information, like the rough idea of what it can do or what it needs to do.
Sure.
I'm much better at drawing maps than anything, because I started off as a level designer.
Oh, okay.
Draw me a map.
Right.
Yeah. Draw me a map.
I mean, it's not like your Marcus's screens would be 3D, you know, creatures. That would be tricky to draw. It would be 2D, like more like a map.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, the possibilities are endless.
What would you say your biggest challenge from working at home is?
I would say trying to like set my own schedule and also trying to coordinate schedules with other people. Like, we work from home, people kind of just work in their own time, me included.
Yeah, so it's not like everyone's at the office for 8 or something.
Yeah, it's just like, all right, I'll get, you know, my 8 hours of work done throughout the day in various fashion.
Oh, so what happens if, okay, you need to get a hold of Nick because he's doing something that is part of what you're doing, but you're doing this at 10 in the morning and Nick's lazy ass is still sleeping at 10 in the morning.
Right.
And, you know, and you're like, I need to do this in order to move forward. Mm-hmm. Do they give you multiple projects to do? So like, if you can't achieve this goal, you just switch over to something else.
There's usually enough things where you can jump around to work on different things.
So you could be like, I'm working on like mob of, this is, you know, I'm just making it up, but goblins or something. But you can also have like, you know, a lizard man boss that you need to work on in the meantime as well or something.
Yeah. But the bigger problem is, and we you mentioned this before, or both of you guys mentioned this before we started recording, was like how your dad works for the grocery thing and has to contact someone, but that someone might be on call with someone else, so you just have to wait.
Right.
It's a lot of that.
You can just go to their office, right?
Yeah, because I'll hop on my, we use you know, Microsoft Teams. I'll hop on Teams. I'd be like, oh, so-and-so's in the call meeting. I don't know when they're going to come back because I didn't have that face-to-face with them in the morning. So it's just a lot of that. It's like someone else is already talking to the person you need to talk to, so your task has been shifted by like an hour or two, which is why my work is spread out through the day.
Right, because you have a lot of those like, oh, I'm just waiting to talk to this person about a project.
Yeah.
But I have to kill an hour or something like that.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll transition to work on something else. Other times, like, if it doesn't make sense to, then I'll just boot something up and play it for a little bit.
Well, at least you kind of have that freedom to do stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people don't.
So, okay, so obviously you're sitting in front of your computer for hours and hours on end. If you're playing a game in between working and things like that, I got to ask, what kind of chair do you have? This is kind of completely tangential here, but
That's a great question.
Like, because by chair, I like for like an hour or two, but even now I'm starting to get uncomfortable.
So I have an IKEA chair.
Okay.
Nothing super fancy, but one of the nicer models. And then I
Google it, Nick.
Well, there's IKEA, I'm sure, has 4 billion office chairs.
Yeah, they have a bunch, and they're all named Swedish things. I don't remember the names.
Right.
I do want to get a gaming chair at some point, just something that has like lumbar support or like a nice office chair that has that.
Yeah. So I accidentally bought, so I'm like pretty chunky. I'm relatively pear-shaped, but like I'm not like Jabba the Hutt, you know? The office chair that I bought, it came in two sizes. It came in like regular and large. I was like, oh, like I'm a pretty bigger dude. I'm like 6 feet tall, 220. Got big legs and things. I'll get the bigger one. I didn't realize that the bigger one was just a nice way of saying it's like Jabba the Hutt size. So I have like 8 inches of seat on either side of me before the armrests because it's just meant for like a much, much wider person. So it's not sure. It's not nearly as comfortable as the point I'm trying to make. But
so how old is the chair?
It's like 2 or 3 years now.
So That's it. It's time to retire it, dude.
Yeah, I can ditch it.
Yeah, a chair stays good for like a year or two and chuck it. It's time for a new one, unless you're going out and spending like some good money on a good one. We're big dudes, you know what I mean?
Our big, heavy upgrade. Booties just mash this cushion.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking about that and laughing because my chair sucks too.
Right. I got a couple other tangential questions.
Good.
So, Jackie, are you a 1080p at like 144 hertz kind of guy, or would you prefer like a 4K at 60 frames?
Ooh, it depends what I'm playing. If I'm playing like something like if I'm playing Siege or Valorant, I'd prefer the 144 hertz. Yeah.
Yeah.
If I'm playing like a nice like cinematic single player game or something that has like beautiful vistas and stuff.
Yeah.
I'll go with the 4K.
At 60 or something, also
acceptable. Actually, I have two separate monitors. One is 60, 4K, and the other one is 144 hertz.
Oh, that's precisely why I asked. Yep. Do you swap them out?
I can't do it.
Yeah, I just designate which one I want to run each program on.
I can't do it. I did that for a while. That's exactly what I did. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't do the double screen because the 1080p, everything is so much bigger and it doesn't like mix well with the 4K monitor. Mm-hmm. So I bought two 4Ks and I couldn't have the two resolutions. But going back now in time, I actually regret buying the 4K. Mm-hmm. I mean, my computer's a beast, but it still doesn't run 4K at what it should. Because it's too demanding.
And to run two of them?
No, to run one. Because my max frames, depending on what I play, like Star Wars Battlefront 2, you know, at 4K on Ultra, I'm only getting like 35 frames a second. So I turn it on high and I get my full 60. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's tough to render that, I guess is what I'm saying. And, you know, I regret it because I could buy a 144 hertz monitor at 1080p and it'll look fantastic whatever I play because it's so smooth. So I actually regret buying the 4K monitors.
The way having one of each works for me is that my non 4K one, I usually just keep like Discord and other chat things on because it's easier to read the text on that.
Yep.
And then videos and other stuff if I'm just like browsing is played on my 4K.
Sure.
That makes sense. What do you have for a video card at your house?
2070.
Oh, perfect. I have a 2060 in my laptop. My new fancy one.
What kind did you get?
I got a Asus Tough. I forgot what it's called. It's like their Tough Book.
Tough Gaming.
Yeah, Tough Gaming series. It's got a 2070. Sorry, 2060. An AMD processor.
Ryzen 7.
Yep. Nothing too crazy. 512 gigabyte, solid state, 16 gigabytes of RAM.
That's plenty. It's all you need. And 144 hertz screen, though.
Yes, 144 hertz, 1080
screen on it, which is pretty sweet. All for the, and I, well, the thing that I really liked was I got it through Newegg.com, and I, Marcus informed me that I had a, Newegg has a credit line you can get, and you can, if you, you know, apply for a credit line and then get like a decent limit on it, which if you have like, you know, decent credit, you can get a, you know, $1,000 or more. And if you buy, make a one purchase that's more than $500, it's 0% interest for 12 months. So I bought this laptop. It was like, I think the final price was like $1,268 or something like that with tax. So I just paid it off in 3 months. And now I just have a sweet laptop for essentially no interest, which I'm pretty pumped about. Like, if you can spend, I just thought it was an awesome deal, and I needed a new laptop anyway. So I was like, why? I can definitely afford $300 a month. That's awesome for 3 months or 4 months. So that was sweet that I could get that for so cheap, or for like, I guess, such a minor financial burden. Like, dropping $1,200 in one shot is pretty intense, but
yeah,
but spending $300 a month is way much more manageable for me anyway. And you know, it looks good on my credit score that I paid it off so fast, and now I just have this, like, you know, sort of floaty computer parts account for anything. Like, if I want to go buy a PS5 when it comes out, I can just put it on that and then pay it off easily, you know. Especially if I do it all in one purchase. Now it's, I think, even so, if it's more than $500, it's 0% interest for 12 months, and I think if it's over 300, it's 0% interest for 6 months. So if I go buy a console later, that'll still be 0% interest for as long as I pay it off within 6 months, which that's absolutely perfect. Doable.
Yeah, 100%.
I like, although the laptop's sweet, I was more pumped up about that financial deal for, through Newegg, which I had not heard about at all until Marcus was like, yeah, check, some companies offer that. Check it out.
Nick, you have any other questions?
I don't think so. I think we covered quite a lot, Jackie.
Yeah. This is where the intro sound of dun, dun, dun comes. What is the difference between Gearbox and BioWare working environments?
Yeah, now that you've been there for quite a while and you're not just dipping your toes in Gearbox, you got a little more gritty details.
The big difference is Gearbox is privately owned. All our executives are in the same building as us, so information travels a lot faster.
That makes sense.
If you have questions of the higher-ups, you can... You literally just message them or stop at the office and ask them.
Wow. So things can get done a lot faster.
Yeah.
What do you miss? Go ahead.
And yeah, and there's less of like worrying about, you know, shareholders and stock price and stuff. Because that any kind of corporation, right? That's a big thing. Mm-hmm. For us, that's Gearbox is not well, not we don't have, yeah, we don't have stock, so that's non-existent.
Oh, right. They're not publicly traded or anything either. Yep. I get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
What do you miss from BioWare?
I guess the benefit of being put on like such a large corporation is the fact that you have all these other studios that are part of like the EA family.
So you have DICE and along with BioWare and...
Yeah, and like FIFA and stuff, and you do get cool stuff from them, like tech, you know, stuff that they're working on. Help when you need to. Like, the help comes a little slower, but the expertise is there from different areas. Like, if you look at a Battlefront, a lot of the vehicles were done by Criterion in the UK, who specialized in racing games. They worked on Burnout and Need for Speed.
Oh, that's cool.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So you got to have, you know, vehicle expertise to help out.
Where at Gearbox, it's all in-house.
Yeah.
Huh. What was one of your biggest challenges at BioWare that you don't have at Gearbox?
I want to say, like, because working in a live service environment where more or less they provide us the tools and we just have to do what we can with the tools. There's a lot of, I have these designs, but I can't do them. So I gotta think of something else versus at Gearbox, because we're working on non-live service games, working on games from the ground up, like we were talking about in the first half of the show, if I have a design that people are in agreement of, they're like, all right, we'll do whatever we can to make this design work because we want this for our game.
Well, that's cool. So if you think of a mechanic that might not exist within the engine, essentially, or yeah, like the current version, you can have the engineers go build it, right?
Yep, exactly.
That's cool.
There was some of that on, like, I'm sure on Anthem, you know, there was some of that because brand new title and such. But yeah, a lot of those live service kind of games, you build a tool set where you provide designers all the tools they need, and then from those tools, they build what they can.
I see. Okay.
And I'm sure it's the same for, you know, World of Warcraft, for Destiny, for other games and whatnot.
That's definitely must be somewhat limiting in the creativity of like some of the mechanics you can think of and stuff, though.
Yeah.
Like there's only so much you can do within the tool set.
I'm sure like every now and then, like for an expansion, you might be able to get some help to expand some things. But yeah, that's why live service games are hard to build. And the best way to build them is to kind of know what you're trying to build in the beginning so you can build the right tools for the future.
But why does it take so long for content to come out for a game, a live service game, like SOTOR?
Because usually the live service teams are smaller than a launch team.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, they're essentially like on maintenance rather than building everything from...
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Like if you're going to launch, you know, we'll say World of Warcraft, their last expansion. When they launched that expansion, they had maybe 300, 400 people working on it. But they're probably not going to have all those people working on it the whole time, right? Because they need to launch the next expansion. So they're going to move some people off, work on whatever the next thing is, and then that their content patches and stuff will slow down because of that.
And when a game goes to not a lot of content drops, usually why is that? Is it just because...
Whoever was working on it was pulled off to work on whatever the next thing is.
Huh. Because that, I would say, is my most frustrating part of, you know, SOTOR versus other games. You see other MMOs or other games drop new content all the time, and it feels like SOTOR is the Star Wars IP, and you would think that's, like, over the moon popular, but the content comes out so slow, so I feel like it's hard to retain players. Because, you know, a lot of people play story. Not a lot of people do end game. You know what I mean? And once they do it, if there's no new story, then they stop playing. And it's hard to get those players to come back.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely an issue. And I mean, I was talking about earlier, I'm currently experiencing that with Destiny, right? Where it's like, yeah, there's not as much content right now. It's harder to keep me around.
Right. And, you know, in these times... what sucks is it's hard to keep people around because now is the time to do it. What did Steam reported, like, the highest concurrent players ever was like 23 million players on the Steam platform alone at the same time. That's insane. That is insane. That's how many people are playing video games right now.
Well, there's more than that because they play on more than just Steam, but that is still preposterous number of people.
And think about it, you know, all of that.
There's 10 times more than that on console, probably.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. And just on Fortnite alone.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, into SOTOR a little bit more. You know, why are there issues they call desync? Why does that happen with this game?
What, like client server desync stuff?
Yeah.
Because some things are client side only. And it happens with a few other games too. Like I was actually running into that problem with I think it was something in Destiny where the client was registering something that the server wasn't.
It happens a lot in Rainbow Six Siege as well. Like a lot of the destruction is client side only.
That's why if you guys play like in Siege and other things, like Peeker's advantage happens because the client and the server aren't always synced together.
Right.
Like there's tick rates where it refreshes to each other.
But why does that happen? Do you know?
It's just technical limitations.
Yeah, but it's almost like your monitor and computer not having synced frame rates, if that makes sense. Like the server of what's registering your actions versus what you're doing aren't precisely synced up. So you can have things sort of not line up correctly. Like, I'm not sure how that might apply to SOTOR, but like in Siege, for example, you might have saw somebody and shot their head, but the server registered your cursor, you know, a little to the left of their head, because like as if your reticle hadn't gone all the way to their head yet. So you, from your end, it looked like you pulled the trigger on their head, but in the server, you missed a little bit.
Yeah. See, you definitely see that because there's a kill cam.
Right. And then in the kill cam, yeah, you shoot to the left of them, but you're like, that's not what happened in real time.
Yep.
Do you know the reason why Gearbox went for the cell shader games versus, you know, photorealistic or, you know, the art like Guild Wars 2 look? Did they ever tell you why they did that?
They didn't tell me specifically. I remember reading an article sometime back, like a while ago, about it. Probably floating somewhere in the internet, but I know Borderlands was originally not the art style it currently is now. Like, there's trailers of what original Borderlands was supposed to look like, and it's not cel-shaded at all. I don't know if you've ever seen those.
No, I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, it's like semi-realistic. But at some point in development of Borderlands 1, they decided to switch it. Like, I remember reading why, I don't remember why.
I think it was definitely, obviously, it was wicked successful, so it was a good move, but I think logically it makes sense to stand out more amongst, you know, a sea of other first-person shooters.
Yeah. I know this style ages better, right? Like, if you go, I went back and played Borderlands 1 just for fun, like, a few months ago, and I was like, oh, this game actually still looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it still looks current.
Yeah, because it's very stylized.
Yeah, it doesn't go out of style.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, there's a cover. I just Googled it. Original Borderlands art style. There's a cover of Game Informer where it's not all cel shaded.
Yeah. And there's video, too. You can probably Google, like, original Borderlands art style, and you can see trailers of what it looked like.
Right. Definitely.
I wonder what made it change. Do you miss working at BioWare ever?
Yeah, there's things I miss about it. Like, it's mean, you know, I miss the people. I liked everyone I worked with.
Sure. And do you feel like you haven't connected with everybody at Gearbox because, you know, a month after you started there, this shit happened?
Yeah, it does definitely impede on that. Like, first month, I met some people that were real cool, starting to get lunch and stuff together and make plans to hang out. And then the process was going on, and then this happened, which really did hamper everything.
The virus.
Yeah. We're trying to set up, like, game nights, and the studio is doing really good on trying to keep people sane and keep the morale up. They sent us a care package with a bunch of goodies like snacks and toilet paper and a puzzle.
Really?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It might be on my Twitter. You might be able to see the picture on.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and they organize a movie night every week.
How do you guys all watch it?
I don't know. The last few weeks, movies have been things I've already watched, so I haven't participated, but. I'm sure there's I know there's, like, ways, links and stuff you can use to everyone watch the movie at the same time.
Right. Like, you might be able to stream it over a Discord, but I used to use an app called Rabbit, but it doesn't exist anymore. But that was, like, you could sort of FaceTime or Zoom while also looking at a shared screen. Mm-hmm. It was like a virtual desktop type of thing. So I would pull up, like, Netflix on that virtual desktop, and then I could, watch a show, you know, a show or something with somebody else. And then also talk, like, to each other during it.
Yeah.
Which, like, if you have, like, you know, 50 people, that might be kind of rough because you'll hear everybody, like, ruffling around and stuff. But
yeah, we're trying to organize game nights, too. I volunteer to organize one of them. I haven't decided which one I'll organize yet. Maybe I'll do, like, League or Valorant or Guild Wars or Rainbow Six, one of those games.
Let me know if you want to play Siege ever, because I have that on PS4 and also my PC.
Well, I'm always on for Siege. I love Siege.
Yeah, anytime.
A long time, but I really like it.
So I like Valorant a lot, but I think Siege is still my favorite tactical shooter.
It's my favorite ever, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, do you think they make another one?
Another Siege?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's like it's one of those games that's I predict is here to stay because, I mean, look at how long Counter-Strike's been around, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's genre defining enough where, and it's competitive enough where the following will be there. As long as they keep on supporting it, people will keep on playing it.
That's true. If they don't make another Siege, they'll just keep it going forever, I think.
Yeah. At some point, maybe they'll keep what they have and just make like an engine update.
Right. That'd be cool.
Yeah, well, speaking of engine update and, you know, like the last, how to make a game last, right? And talking more about all of the things to keep things around. In your opinion, now being at a new studio and seeing you're working on a new IP that nobody knows about and seeing that graphical update to a game, how does a 10-year-old game like SOTOR stay around for years to come and keep up and be able to continue to release content at a non-snail pace and, you know, essentially keep up moving forward?
I mean, tech updates always help. They can help any game, right? Like WoW has done tech updates. They've done visual updates. That's also a common thing games do. Okay. If they can at least, I mean, they've been doing higher and higher fidelity art through the last couple of years. Like if you look at, you go on Capera, right? And compare that to like one of the original Flashpoints. There's just so much more actual things in that Flashpoint.
Yep.
If they update the render, if they do just an overhaul on how they like their texture resolutions and everything.
How long does something like that take to do?
That is a great question for an artist and engineer. My guess is that at least like a year or two. Okay. Yeah, I know WoW did it in between one of their expansions. Who knows? Maybe they did it. They had a team working on it for a while.
But sure. Well, I guess, you know, the big one for me is, you know, how do you make a game last? And I look at what's the most popular MMO right now in the whole world? It's Final Fantasy 14. And why is it the most popular? And this is my real opinion. It's because it's on consoles, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying SOTOR could ever go onto a console, but in this conversation has been had for a long time, but why do people or, you know, games make it only PC? Is it because it's 10 years old and that was the platform that was popular then? Or is it because of, you know, limitations with a console?
I think with SWTOR specifically back then is what your first answer was. That was what was popular back then, right? Like SWTOR came out in what, 2011?
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of any other MMOs that were on console in 2011. Since then, things have changed. You know, Final Fantasy's on it. Elder Scrolls Online's on it now.
That's it. That's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah. And I definitely agree console would help SWTOR a lot. There's a lot of devs on the SWTOR team who would also say the same.
Right.
So I think it's just a matter of how difficult will it be to do, how much money will be needed to invest to do so. Is it worth the investment? Probably is. Look at how it's helped Final Fantasy and Elder Scrolls Online.
Well, that's right. Because, you know, so it's funny. The Elder Scrolls Online is on the PlayStation and the Xbox. Mm-hmm. And Final Fantasy 14 is about to launch on the Xbox. Think about all the people that have an Xbox that are going to jump into Final Fantasy 14 now.
Exactly.
It's going to be a whole new resurgence of players.
I mean, look at Elder Scrolls, right? It started off PC only. It was not doing too hot, and then eventually they did a little bit of reworking and put it on console, and now it's, you know, now it's doing really well.
Right.
It's amazing.
Oh, go ahead, Nick.
I was just going to say, it's amazing to me how some of these games can have, like, big resurgences. Like, I remember doing an episode, and we were talking about how Siege was having a big resurgence, like, after one, like, just a lot of people coming back. Or it's interesting how, like, Elder Scrolls Online having a big resurgence of players. I always find that interesting, like, you can have X amount of people at launch, but then have that many people come to it later in its life. You would figure that the launch would be the most people that are ever going to play a game. So I guess the psychology of having more people at a later point is just, it fascinates me.
Yeah, you know? it's a newer phenomenon too. Well, I say newer, I mean within the last like half a decade or so. Because more games are live services now.
Well, Final Fantasy 14, when it first came out, bombed.
Yeah.
They completely rebuilt the whole game, and now it's the most popular MMO in the world.
Yep. I mean, yeah, there's tons of games that are that example, right? Like, look at, what was that? No Man's Sky.
Yeah, it's pretty much an MMO.
Yeah, nowadays. And I know lots of people that are playing it that didn't play at launch. Even Battlefront 2. Not too hot at launch. And now it's really, really well received, and a lot of people play it.
Well, the reason why it wasn't, the only thing that killed Battlefront 2 was the loot box thing. If that loot box thing never came in, that would be one of the most popular first-person shooters or third-person shooters right now.
Loot box, and because of loot box, the progression was a little off in the beginning, but yeah, once they fixed that, which was, well, like 4 months later, 5 months later, it was solid.
Yeah.
And once they added enough maps and everything, it became really good.
Listen, when I play the Supremacy on, what is it, Kamino, I mean, you're in the hallway of those Kamino hallways, and it's pure white. I mean, whoever built that asset, I'm tipping my hat to them, because it's gorgeous, and that can't be easy to render. It's so shiny and white. It's almost like you have to squint your eyes to look at it, because that's how bright it is and so crystal clear.
It feels so amazing. Star Wars when you're in there.
Well, that's right. And then you run outside to the platforms and you see the waves crashing over stuff. And you're like, holy shit, I'm really on Kamino. Where's Django?
Right.
And baby Boba.
Right.
It's for me now, you know, with SOTOR is I want to see this game last for a while. Like, I really like all the devs, but it's hard for me to see the future of the way the content is being released right now and the way it's, you know, in the cycle it's in. You know, I feel like the game needs a drastic change or a change of something. Would you agree? In order for this game to last for, you know, WoW's been, what, 15 years?
Yeah.
You know, how does SOTOR make it another 15 years or another 5-10 years? You know what I mean? Unless, obviously, if that's not the cycle plan. But I can't imagine that it's not, because it's making money.
I just think it needs, like, a lot of the MMOs, they start dwindling down, and then they release some expansion that has a lot of, you know, big systemic changes, technical changes, visual changes, whatnot, and it brings all those people back. WoW's had those ups and downs, and after expansion or two, they'll have one just, like, standout expansion that brings so many people back. I think that was Legion for them. I think that's what SWTOR needs, is just an expansion that brings tons of people back.
And
an update, you know, something like that.
A big like earth-shattering update.
Yeah.
Not just a regular story one.
I like Final Fantasy is the most popular right now because each of the expansions have been amazing. And each time it just brings in more and more people.
And every month or every 3 months, there's a huge update to the game. The only thing I don't like about Final Fantasy 14 is you have to do the entire story in order. The story unlocks, like, you have to play so much of the story before you get your first flashpoint, which is called a dungeon.
Yeah.
Then you, like, it forces you to play through the whole story, which I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it's almost monotonous.
It is. The vanilla story is, I'm not fully through it either, but I'm still working through it slowly.
It's so hard. I'll play it for an hour and I feel like I'm falling asleep. And I understand the later expansions, the story gets good. And I don't want to you can do a boost. I mean, it costs some serious money to do it. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, I don't know. It just, you know, if I create a tune and like double XP gets me to level 70 or whatever their max level is, I want to raid. That's what I want to do. But you can't, because it's locked behind story content.
Yep.
So it forces you to play hundreds of hours before you can actually do the thing you want to do. And for me, in 2020, I got a wife and kids. You know, ain't nobody got time for that. My last question, and I know the answer you're going to tell me, is, so SOTOR's 10th anniversary is coming. Is there anything that you're really excited for the game that you found out before you left? Or is that a top secret I can't tell you?
That's more of a, I don't know what they're doing for it.
Sure.
Charles did say they're planning something big. I don't know what that is.
Yeah. All right.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see. I'm curious and excited to see what it is too.
Sure. Actually, part B of the last question. Mm-hmm. So tell everybody what game you're working on for Gearbox.
I am working on an unannounced title for Gearbox.
Sorry. Thanks so much. Yeah.
That was perfect.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Jackie, for coming back, and let's play some games.
Yeah, for sure. No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely anytime. See you soon, Jackie.
See ya.
What are you guys talking about in here?
Find out next episode of Working Class Nerds.